Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly. And before we get started with today's episode, I wanted to chat with you guys for a second to kind of just recap some things that I've been meaning to tell you. First of all, Crime Con is coming up. It's going to be the first weekend in September. It's held in Denver, Colorado, and we will be there on Podcast Row. So if you are in the area or if you're interested in going to Crime Con, I highly recommend it. It's a chance to see some of your favorite creators in the space, including bigger names like the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Usually there's hosts from Dateline that are there. I believe Josh Mankiewicz is going to be there. One of my favorite prosecuting attorneys, Matt Murphy, is going to be there. I can't remember when it was. It was either 1 or 2 years ago, but I met Matt Murphy for the first time. And Austin took our picture, and it was so funny because I didn't know if I should like put my arm around him or not. And so in the picture, I just look so painfully awkward. The whole experience was so awkward. I basically short-circuited. Matt Murphy is a cute guy, and Austin totally called me out on that. He's like, you have a crush on that guy. And I was like, I think it's just because he is so smart and like well-known. I don't know. Do you ever just like kind of short-circuit around people that you admire? Like, I don't know. That's basically what happened. But that's a lot of what Crime Con is. There's a lot of familiar faces there. So I'm very excited. And then you have a lot of speakers and expos and exhibits going on all at the same time. So there's always something to do. Ethan Chapin's mom from the Idaho murders is scheduled to be there and do a presentation, like a panel that you can sit in and listen to. So I'm really hoping I can go see that. Anyway, all of that is to say, if you have a chance to get out to Denver and go to Crime Con, I highly recommend it. And if you do, go use the code MAMAMYSTERY for, I think it's 10% off of your tickets. All right. And the next thing I wanted to point out was that you might have noticed that there was not a weekly docket episode for last week. I went to Dallas with my daughter for just a quick little visit, and I had a great time, and I was hoping I could get the weekly docket out, but I kind of knew better that I wasn't going to have time to do that. But it was really nice to just be able to spend time one-on-one with Kennedy. She's about to be 11 on Thursday, which is just, time is flying by. And so having that one-on-one time with Kennedy meant so much to me because I'm always so, you know, torn between either podcasting or mowing the grass or doing the pool work or house cleaning or whatever. And then I have, of course, three other children. And so it just meant so much to me to get that one-on-one time with her, even if it was just a one-night trip. But it was great. I had a great time. Dallas is a cool place, and I love visiting there. This week was actually Jack's birthday. So my kids are born 6 days apart, 12 months and 6 days apart. So Jack's birthday was last week, and of course, we had some fun with him. If you saw in my Instagram stories, I took him to a place called Sandbox VR. So there's multiple locations because I believe it's a franchise. We're close to Kansas City, so we went to the one that I believe is in Leawood or Overland Park, and it was so fun. Jack got to bring three of his friends. They got decked out head to toe in VR gear, and I'm talking like sensors on their chest with a vest. They have sensors on their wrists and feet, and you can play themed games. Some of them are suitable for kids. Some of them are more mature, so like it really suits all ages, but it was so fun to watch them, and they had such a blast. So if you are in the area of a Sandbox VR, I recommend checking it out. Although I will say it is a little expensive given the fact that they only really get like 30 minutes of playtime. So that one was kind of like, I don't know, that kind of like put me off on it. But I'm not getting paid to recommend these places. So, you know, do with this information whatever you will. And with all of that out of the way, I want to talk about a case that has been really dominating the true crime space last week. I would have updated it in the weekly docket, but honestly, this case is so big that I think it deserves an episode by itself. So today we are going to be talking about the Austin Drummond case out of Tennessee. You might be familiar with it, you might not, but by the end of this episode, you're going to know everything you need to know. So let's dive in. A small Tennessee community has been rocked by a brutal crime after four members of the same family were found murdered in a remote rural area in Tennessee, and their seven-month-old baby girl was left in a stranger's front yard in her car seat miles away. Authorities have named 28-year-old Austin Robert Drummond as the suspect, saying that the killings were targeted and that Austin had ties to the victims through his girlfriend. So he went on the run, armed and considered extremely dangerous, which sparked a massive multi-agency manhunt with a $30,000 reward for his capture. And then last week, he was finally captured and arrested. So here's everything we know so far. Authorities have identified four victims, all members of the same family, who were killed in this case. And they include 21-year-old James Matthew Wilson, who goes by Matthew, and Matthew is the baby's father. Then you have 20-year-old Adriana Williams, who is the baby's mother, 38-year-old Courtney Rose, who is Adriana's mom, and 15-year-old Braden Williams, who is Adriana's brother. The infant at the center of this case is a 7-month-old girl, and she is the daughter of Matthew and Adriana. All four victims lived in Dyer County, Tennessee, and were close family members. Matthew was the boyfriend of Adriana, and Braden was Adriana's younger brother. So the family has been described by relatives as loving and tight-knit. Matthew's father actually said that his son, quote-unquote, had a heart of gold and would do anything to help his family and friends, noting that he was also a devoted young father. So this all started on July 29th, which was a Tuesday, and around 3 p.m. that day, a homeowner in the rural Tigret area of Dyer County discovered an unattended baby girl in a car seat left in their front yard. So they called 911 and reported that a dark-colored minivan or SUV had dropped off the infant and then just drove off. So the responding deputies took the 7-month-old to a hospital as a precaution. Miraculously, she was unharmed. Later that evening, concerned relatives realized that the baby's parents and family had not been seen since the night before. At about 10:26 p.m., a 911 call was made reporting Courtney Rose and her daughter Adriana Williams missing, and family members began searching with flashlights in a desperate attempt to find them themselves. That night, there was a relative searching in a remote area in Tiptonville, Tennessee, which is about 40 miles from where the baby was found. And this relative came across two abandoned vehicles on a secluded dirt road, which was Carrington Road, and they called the police. Nearby, officers found four bodies in a wooded area off that road. And by the early hours of July 30th, authorities had confirmed that the four individuals found dead were the missing family members: Matthew, Adriana, Courtney, and Braden. They also confirmed that the cases of the abandoned infant and the four deaths were connected. Investigators believe that the family was likely killed on the night of July 28th or early July 29th, with the killer then transporting the baby to safety that afternoon. After that, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, or TBI, and local law enforcement launched a homicide investigation. On July 30th, Lake County Sheriff Brian Avery announced that the deaths were being treated as homicides, and by July 31st, the TBI publicly named 28-year-old Austin Robert Drummond as the prime suspect in what is now described as a quadruple murder. So warrants were obtained for Drummond's arrest on 4 counts of first-degree murder, 1 count of aggravated kidnapping related to the baby, and then several firearm charges. Authorities stressed that this was not believed to be a random act of violence against strangers, so they were, you know, insisting that there was no danger to the public. However, this guy was on the run. So on August 1st, which was a Friday, a multi-agency manhunt was fully underway for Austin Drummond. In a press conference on August 1st, the director of the TBI, David Rausch, and DA Goodman revealed significant developments, saying that investigators located an empty vehicle which was believed to have been driven by Austin. It was a white 2016 Audi A3 with Tennessee license plates, and it was abandoned in Jackson, Tennessee, roughly 70 miles southeast of Tiptonville. The car was found in a wooded area at the dead end of a road in North Jackson, and evidence suggested that Austin had been living out of the vehicle while he was on the run. So TBI agents also announced an initial reward of $15,000 for information leading to Austin's arrest. And at the press briefing, Director Rausch noted the peculiar mercy shown in the crime, you know, that he dropped off the baby but killed the baby's whole family. So I don't know, that part is very weird and bizarre to me. But officials used this point to express hope that Austin might surrender peacefully, even as they warned that he was armed and dangerous. So the next day, August 2nd, which is now Saturday, The manhunt continued into the weekend. On August 2nd, the TBI announced it had located a second vehicle tied to the suspect, a 1988 white Ford pickup truck with a red stripe, and it was discovered near Burnt Mill Road in Dyer County. Investigators have been searching for this truck as a vehicle of interest, and its discovery suggested that Austin may have switched vehicles after he abandoned the Audi. So the TBI asked anyone in that area to check security camera footage from Tuesday morning, the 29th, for any sightings of Austin or the truck. Also on August 2nd, law enforcement revealed that they had made two arrests of alleged accomplices who aided Austin after the murders. So the reward for his capture was then increased to $17,500 by contributions from the U.S. Marshals Service and TBI at that point. Despite an intense search effort, Austin remained at large, and on Sunday night, August 3rd, there was actually a confirmed sighting of him reported in North Jackson, Tennessee, and there was home surveillance cameras on the 700 block of Pipkin Road, and it captured images of Austin moving on foot around 10 or 11 p.m. that Sunday. So in the videos released by police, Austin was armed with a black rifle and dressed in full camouflage with a brown backpack. So I'll put this picture or video on our socials if you follow us at mama.mysterypodcast, wherever you choose to follow us, whether it's TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, we're on all of it. But I'll go ahead and put that footage there. It is so eerie to see this guy getting captured on Ring footage, like on somebody's porch, it looks like. And I just can't imagine how terrifying that would be to like review your Ring camera footage and see that on there. Those of you who have followed us for a while know that we had a guy that was like staying in our pool house. He like spent a night or two in our pool house, and our contractor actually like walked in on him. And so like I've experienced just kind of the unsettling feeling that you get when there's someone on your property that shouldn't be. But to see a guy in full camo with a black rifle, I would not sleep for days. So anyway, this sighting prompted a massive law enforcement response in that Jackson neighborhood through Monday. Officers, canine units, helicopters, they all flooded the area of Pipkin Road, Pleasant Plains Road, Oil Well Road, and Country Club Lane in an effort to corner the fugitive. So they kind of created like a perimeter around him. So the presence of an armed killer on the loose obviously put the community on edge. Union University in Jackson briefly went on lockdown as a precaution, and then police issued urgent warnings for residents to just lock their doors and stay inside while the search was active. By Monday, August 4th, the governor's office, Crime Stoppers, and federal authorities had joined in, boosting the reward, bringing the total bounty for his arrest to $30,000. So before I get to his actual capture, I want to talk a little bit more about the crime scene itself. So two vehicles, like I mentioned, that belonged to the victims were discovered at the location where their bodies were found, suggesting that they may have been lured or taken to the spot where they were killed. So investigators have not publicly disclosed the exact manner of death for each victim. However, because there are those firearm charges, I'm just inclined to believe that they were probably shot to death. But all that the officials would confirm is that all four were homicide victims. The DA, Danny Goodman, declined to specify how they were killed, citing that it was, you know, obviously an ongoing investigation. But what authorities have emphasized is that this was a targeted attack. The TBI director, David Rausch, stated that evidence indicates Drummond specifically targeted this family. So why? Before we go on, I want to take a moment to thank the sponsor of today's episode, which is Armoire. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, you just swap them out for more new to you styles. I will admit I was a little skeptical at first because I'm not the type of person who dresses up very often, but you guys, this is actually so perfect and I'm genuinely so excited about this new membership with Armoire. And I want to tell you what the process was like for me. I got onto their website and I mean, there were so much to choose from. I ended up choosing 6 items and I was kind of like, we'll see what happens, you know, not sure how they were going to arrive, if they were going to be like noticeably used or what. But listen, 2 days after I placed my like case order, it showed up on my doorstep. Everything was like, when I pulled it out of the bag, everything was neatly folded and then tied up in this really pretty little bow. And I got so excited. I'm actually taking a trip to Dallas with my daughter soon, so I'm gonna wear an outfit for that. Austin and I are gonna go to a Teddy Swims concert, so I got an outfit for that. I'm like, you guys, I'm so excited about this because everything showed up in great condition. I mean, I think it looks brand new. And it's $900 worth of clothes that I'm renting for less than $100. And the best part for me is that I can just send it back. I don't typically dress up that often, but this is so perfect for like the random occasions that I do dress up without having to go and like splurge on an entire new outfit that I might only wear once. I will be honest, I feel guilty that over half of my closet has only been worn once, if at all. And there are even a few items that are going to Goodwill with the tags on them. So I love being on trend and having new things to wear, but I hate the waste that I'm creating when I do that, right? So Armoire allows me to rent these high quality designer clothes for any occasion and then just send it back. If you've got a wedding or a job interview or just like anything that you just want to kind of dress up a little bit. But the nice thing is they also have athleisure. So I got this really cute Kate Spade anorak jacket that I can wear with like a pair of leggings, and it just kind of makes you feel a little more dressed up while you're still dressed down. I also got some really cool floral wide leg pants from Steve Madden with this really cute denim halter like front vest top to go with it. And just in case that doesn't work out, I got another option too to go with the pants, and then I can have like kind of two outfits in one. You guys, I cannot tell you enough how excited I am about this. And right now my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/mama. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/mama to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Please try Armoire today, and if you do, tag me in the pictures of your outfits so I can get some inspiration and kind of see what y'all are getting. But this is so fun. I'm really, really excited about this. Thanks again to Armoire for sponsoring today's episode. And now back to the story. So Austin Robert Drummond is 28 years old. He looks much older in his pictures, but he's only 28. And he is the sole named suspect in this homicide. He is described as a white male, 5'10", 190 pounds, brown hair, blue eyes, and a goatee. So I'll put pictures of him with this episode, obviously on our socials, but also on like the case cover art so that you can kind of see who we're talking about. But apparently, he was not a stranger to the victims. He had a relationship with the family. In fact, multiple sources indicate that the four victims were relatives of Austin's current girlfriend. So more on that in a second. But Austin has a significant criminal history for someone who's only 28 years old. As a teenager, he already had violent tendencies. At just 16 years old, in July of 2013, he robbed a convenience store at gunpoint in Jackson, Tennessee. During that incident, he pointed a pistol at a gas station clerk and stole money from the register, which amounted to a whole whopping $44. And then he was tried and convicted as an adult for aggravated robbery in 2014. So during the trial and aftermath, Austin caused further alarm by threatening to retaliate against the jurors who convicted him as well as the robbery victim. In February 2015, he pleaded guilty to 13 counts of retaliation for past actions related to those threats. And law enforcement also identified Austin Drummond as an admitted member of the Vice Lords Street Gang around that time. So at that point, he was sentenced to a total of 13 years in prison for the robbery and retaliation offenses. And while incarcerated in the Tennessee State Prison System, his record was marred by frequent disciplinary infractions, more than 24, actually, including possessing a deadly weapon, assault, refusing drug tests, and gang-related activity behind bars. So according to a letter from Jody Pickens, who is the DA for Madison County, written to the parole board in 2020, Austin Drummond showed, quote, no desire for rehabilitation and is not capable of living among society, end quote. So she obviously openly opposed his early release, citing the dangerous behavior and quoting his own words on a recorded prison call in which he vowed, quote, "They are going to regret it. I'll be out one day," end quote. And in that same letter, Pickens noted Austin's gang affiliation and propensity for violence. However, the parole board heeded the warning at the time, and he was denied parole in 2020, but he was released in September of 2024. So really not even a year ago. However, his freedom was obviously short-lived and troubled. Not long after he was released, Austin faced new criminal charges for acts committed inside prison. So in December of 2024, this would be like 2 or 3 months after he's been released, he was indicted for attempted first-degree murder related to a violent incident while he was in prison. Now, specific details of that incident have not been publicly detailed, but it does suggest that he may have tried to kill another inmate. So by mid-2025, Austin was out of jail on bond for those pending charges when the Tiptonville family murders occurred. So this was completely preventable. It seems like he obviously had a propensity to violence. He had no problem and no regard for like the value of human life. So to say that this is a surprise that Austin did this would be quite an over-exaggeration, I would say. Now, earlier I mentioned that there have been some arrests in this case regarding accomplices or potential accomplices to Austin. So let's go ahead and talk about those people. So first, there is Tanaka Brown, who is 29 years old. This man is described as a friend of Austin's, and he was arrested on Friday, August 1st in Jackson. Now, Tanaka, however you pronounce it, I don't really care. He is being charged with being an accessory after the fact to first-degree murder and tampering with evidence. So according to the TBI, Brown helped Austin after the killings, and specifics have not been released yet, but apparently, he tried to destroy or hide evidence as well, so he is ordered held without bond in the Lake County Jail. Next, you have Giovante Thomas, who is 29 years old, another associate of Austin from Jackson. Now, Giovante was actually in custody in Madison County on an unrelated matter when investigators linked him to this case, and he has since been charged with accessory after the fact to first-degree murder as well. Officials are alleging that Thomas or Giovante also assisted Austin in some capacity following the crime, but obviously the details of that have been sealed since this is an ongoing investigation. The next one, there's four total, but the next one is Dara Sanders, a female suspect, 23 years old. These people are so young and they're just throwing their life away. And it's just so wild to me that they're so young committing such heinous crimes. But Dara Sanders, 23 years old, she's a female suspect from Jackson who was arrested on Monday, August 4th. She has been accused of also assisting Austin after the murders and was charged with accessory after the fact to first-degree murder. And lastly, we have Brandon Powell, 25 years old. He is a male suspect whose role is a little bit different. So he was arrested and charged with possession of Schedule 6 drugs, which is a marijuana-related offense, and also criminal conspiracy in connection with the case. So authorities have not explicitly explained how he is connected to Austin or the murders. However, the DA referenced Brandon's arrest in the context of this homicide investigation. So it's possible that he was either present or peripherally involved when Austin was either seeking help or committing the crime. But one report suggests that Brandon might have been involved in a drug deal or exchange related to Austin's flight. So this detail remains to be clarified or confirmed. So all we can really do is assume, but maybe these people helped him hide or gave him a vehicle. Maybe one of those vehicles is tied to one of these people. I don't know. More details will likely come out, and when they do, I'll be sure to update you. Also, the penalty for accessory after the fact to first-degree murder in Tennessee carries a potential prison sentence of 15 to 60 years, and including potentially a fine of up to $25,000. The penalty, of course, can be enhanced if the defendants have any prior criminal convictions, but 15 to 60 years is a pretty broad spectrum, so I guess we'll see what happens there. However, in Tennessee, the potential penalty for first-degree murder does include the death penalty. All right, so let's go ahead and circle back to the fact that Austin Drummond has a girlfriend who actually happened to be the sister of Adriana and Brayden and the daughter of Courtney Rose. So in other words, Austin's girlfriend lost her mom and two siblings in this tragedy as well. So police believe that the killings were a targeted act, obviously, although the motive is still up in the air. It also wasn't until August 5th at 9 a.m. that officers who were acting on a tip found Austin Drummond hiding behind a vacant house in Jackson. He was arrested without incident. Several firearms were recovered nearby, although he was not carrying a weapon when he was apprehended. However, we have video of him carrying a rifle. So just because it wasn't in his hand or on his person doesn't mean they're not associated with him. As of now, he is back in Lake County. He is facing a slew of charges for the July 29th murders. He has been charged with 4 counts of first-degree murder, along with related charges such as aggravated kidnapping and child endangerment, and multiple weapons offenses. At his initial court appearance on August 7th, a judge denied bond, thankfully, because what's crazy to me is that he was out on parole for an attempted murder. I'm sorry, he was out on bail for an attempted murder case that I referenced earlier. So like, how the hell was he even out and allowed to roam the streets? It's because he was out on bail. A judge and a DA agreed at somehow that he should be allowed to be out on bond. So now the prosecutor obviously is recommending no bail because he's being held on a capital murder case at this point with the death penalty on the table. And obviously he has a propensity to disregard and run from authority. So he has pleaded not guilty to all of the charges that are against him. And get this, when they asked what he did for work, he admitted that he was a balloon artist for children's parties. Yeah, this man was allowed around children. And obviously, you know, handled this child that he dropped off in someone's front yard, but he also killed a 15-year-old who, I mean, say what you want about ages and children or whatever, 15 is still a kid in my eyes, but he took the lives of 4 innocent people. And like I mentioned earlier, like, this is just completely preventable. So the fact that he was even out on bail for the attempted murder charge is just insane to me, because had he been held or taken more seriously, these 4 people would still be alive and this baby girl would still have her family. And it's not like nobody saw this coming or anyone is surprised by this. The guy has been violent his whole life, practically his whole adult life. He has been violent. So I really want to know what the judge and DA from that attempted murder charge have to say now that he has killed 4 people while he was out on bond. As of now, his next court appearance is going to be this Thursday, August 14th. I'll keep an eye on this case, and I'm sure, I guess we'll see if it goes to trial. And if it does, of course, I'll keep you updated. But what could this guy's motive possibly be? Because at this point now, I just have more questions than answers. The fact that his girlfriend was immediately related to the victims makes me wonder if this was her idea or if this was like some sort of revenge killing because they were having issues. Like, I don't know. I just have so many questions, and I'm hesitant to even like say any theories because I don't want to say something that's, you know, blatantly not true, but this is just so insane to me. So let me know what your thoughts are on this case. If you're listening on Spotify, you can leave it in the comments section. If you're listening anywhere else, you can share it to your story. You can comment on Instagram, the posts associated with this story. And of course, that account is mama.mysterypodcast. So with that, that's all I have for you today. I'll see you this Friday for the weekly docket. For real this time, I won't leave you hanging like I did last week. I know that a lot of you have been enjoying the weekly dockets, and I enjoy doing them too. I see all the comments from you guys who listen to the weekly docket and express that you look forward to those. So I'm enjoying doing those too. If you ever have a case recommendation, you can go to mamamystery.com, scroll down to that box and send me a message. If you want me to know who you are though, I should say this, you have to like sign it or something. You have to like say, my name is so-and-so, because they truly are anonymous. Now don't use that as like a tool to be mean to me, because I do have feelings. But anyway, that is all I have for today. I'll see you guys later this week. I hope you have a great week. Stay curious, stay vigilant, Mama Mystery out.